My name's Andy. That's my beautiful wife, Linda, of 28 years. And this is our lovely daughter, Jennifer. I will say, Jennifer now is 25, and she is available for any bachelors in the room. We will do a security check on you, background check out in the lobby if you want to meet her. She doesn't get embarrassed by that either. So, but no, we're just so excited to be here. We're going to just get what I like to say is really real with you tonight and become really vulnerable with you. We know life is hard. And so we want tonight to be of an encouragement to your heart. And truly our prayer is that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he whispers something to your heart tonight. We hope he whispers hope to your heart tonight. So I'm going to ask Jen to open us up in prayer. Jen, would you open us up?
I would love to. Let's pray. Dear faithful, Holy One, Lord Jesus, we come before you now, and I am just so excited. Father God, I just am begging that you would meet with us tonight. Father God, we just crown you with praise, for you are wonderful, glorious, holy and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant and mighty, healer, deliverer, shield and defense, strong tower, and our best friend. Wow, we do. We praise you, and we uplift this time to you now. And I just want to pray that you would speak hope and excitement and love just to everyone's heart here tonight. And Daddy, we just want to truly be touched by you. Thank you for meeting with us. To your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jennifer still struggles with her short-term memory. It comes and goes, and she can't plan ahead what she's going to say in her prayers. And I almost started crying as you were praying because she started quoting the words to Lord, You're Holy, which is the song she sang the night of the car wreck. And we never know what God's going to bring to her mind when she prays. Sometimes she'll preach a whole sermon in her prayer or tell a whole Bible story. And I love that. And afterwards, she'll say, well, don't ask me to do that again. I can't remember what I said. But if you would ask, you know, for 10 years she struggled with the short-term memory and with her vision. She didn't see it all to the right. And if you would ask her, Jen, what did you do yesterday? She'd say, oh, I had a great day. But she couldn't find it without us giving her a cue. And so you'll see how I'll ask her questions. But just this last month, we were at a doctor in Atlanta, and her memory is improving. And tell them what you can do now.
I even know what day of the week it is.
Yeah. He does, yeah. So for the first time in 10 years, Jen now knows the day and the month. And, you know, I wish you could be with us every morning. Jen rolls out of bed and she lands on her knees and she says, Lord, I don't want to take one step without you. And then she says, Lord, I don't want to miss one plan that you have for me today. And so we just want to encourage you tonight that God is the healer and nothing is impossible with him. We were told by doctors that Jen, wouldn't walk again or talk again. And then when she started to do things, they said she won't heal after 2 years. And it's been 10 years and we've seen a ton of healing this year. So. And Jen often... Jen is full of joy. I mean, she doesn't have any fear. She's just full of joy. And she'll say, well, why wouldn't God heal me? Isn't he the creator? Of course he's healing me. And as her mom and Andy, as her dad, we struggle. There are many days that we struggle and even question God at times. And just we've been on a long journey. And Jen will often say to me, Mom, you need a brain injury. She'll say,
I tell my mom that her brain gets in the way and that she thinks too much.
Yeah, yeah, that's what she says. So she says, you need to let go and trust God. And so that's our hope tonight, that as you're listening, you'll be able to let go and trust God. Whatever you walked in this room with tonight, whatever pain, whatever problem, God is big enough for anything, and he's going to walk with you. Jennifer was a Glasgow scale of 3 at our car wreck, and dead people are a 3. And no one thought she would live through the night. And then she was in a coma for 5 weeks, and no one thought she would wake up. And we just prayed and prayed. We had people all over the country praying and fasting that God would wake her up. And as she started to emerge from this coma, she was zipped up in a bed like a tent to keep her from falling on the ground. And Andy and I were in wheelchairs. My whole left side was crushed. And we're watching our beautiful 15-year-old daughter in this bed. And she's moaning back and forth. And she has no control of her arms and her legs. So she's thrashing and she's getting all caught up in this feeding tube. And we couldn't really talk to her. I mean, we couldn't understand her. But all of a sudden, she started praying and talking to God. And it was this uninjured voice. She didn't even have an uninjured voice till a couple years ago. And she was having a two-way conversation with God. And she was thrashing on her stomach and she was saying, should I go or should I stay? What would you have me do? And then she'd roll around and she'd say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But there aren't words to describe you. And you know, we don't understand, but somehow Jen was in the presence of Jesus. And she was talking to him and answering his questions. And she spent hours just saying, Lord, you are so good. You are so faithful. There aren't words to describe you. And she had so much pain. The only way to calm her, we would bring in the Wow Worship CD, and she could sing all 22 songs on that Wow Worship CD, word for word, and we had God's Word open. I would tell all the nurses, don't close the Bible. It is alive and powerful. Leave it open by her head. And so we would start quoting scripture to calm her when she was in pain, and she could quote every verse she had ever hidden in her heart. And it was all in the King James Version because that's how she learned it. She could quote whole chapters. It was unbelievable. And then the doctors would come in and they'd say, Jen, raise your right arm. And she could not do it. She could not follow a verbal command. She didn't know who we were. She didn't know she had a brother. But she knew Jesus. And you know, it's taken me 10 years to put this into words. But her mind and her body was so broken. For 2 years, she didn't even know she was hurt. And yet, the Holy Spirit was alive and perfect and beautiful inside of her. And if you're sitting here tonight and maybe you feel like you're broken or wounded, I think we all are. How many of you feel a little broken or wounded? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you are lying. I think we all are in different ways. If you feel broken tonight, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His Holy Spirit is alive and perfect inside of you. And He can use you just as you are. In fact, I believe with all my heart, He can use you in greater ways because of the pain that you've gone through. And that's what we've seen in Jen. There was one story in the hospital that changed my life forever, and I promised God that I would always tell it. It was Christmas time, and Jen was still in the hospital, and she's in a wheelchair. A lift had put her in the wheelchair, and my friend Pam was with us that day, and Jen still doesn't have control of her feet, so she's kicking Pam, and Pam is on the ground, and she's rubbing Jen's feet, and we start singing Silent Night because it's Christmas. And in the middle of Silent Night, Jennifer stops thrashing her head and her feet, and she starts singing. And she's looking up to the left, and at the end she says, Amen! And she's just glowing. And I'm in my wheelchair, and I looked at her and I said, Jen, do you see Jesus? And she said, yes. Don't you see him? He is standing right beside me. And you know, I think I cried all day Pam and I cried. We were on our faces. We wanted to see what Jen saw. But Jen was completely blind at this time. Because of her brain injury, she could not look at me and know that I was her mom. She had to hear my voice. And yet, Jesus made himself so real to her. And she would talk to him for hours and tell them how you like to view Jesus.
I like to view Jesus as my escort.
Yeah.
Because scripture says that once we have invited the Lord into our life and into our hearts to be our personal savior, how God will never leave us or forsake us. And you know, it just always helped me have the confidence to face my day and just gave me a whole new perspective as well as excitement. So, yeah. And I just wanted to encourage you guys with that too. If you have invited the Lord into your lives and hearts, you know, Jesus is your escort too, you know. You're never alone, and he will be by your side no matter what.
Jen, you love the scripture, Isaiah 41:13, that says, "For I
am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says, do not fear, I will help you."
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that visual, that if we really knew that Jesus was walking beside us, holding our hand, wouldn't it make things different? We would trust him. Before our car wreck, Jen was a completely different personality. She was quieter, and she loved Jesus with all her heart. And she had journals hidden all over her room where she was begging God for boldness because she couldn't really pray out loud, and her little brother was 11, and he could pray out loud. And she was saying, "Lord, I want Josh's boldness." And I know the teens are in here. I mean, Jen was a varsity soccer player, a varsity cheerleader, and she was a straight-A student, but she wanted more. I mean, in her journal, she was saying, "Lord, thank you. This is great, but I want to make a difference in the world. And I know I'm going to need boldness." And there's one journal that you wrote 2.5 months before the car wreck, and it starts with, "Anything is possible."
Oh, yes. I wrote, "Anything is possible with you. Wow, Lord, it's crazy how time flies. And this year, Father, I don't want to blend in because I know that I was born to stand out. To stand alone? Maybe, if that's what it takes. This life that I now live is not mine but yours. It's yours to do with as you please. So pretty much, Father, I'm just begging you to take this year and my life and to please allow your glory to shine. Take it, Father, and use it to its fullest potential."
And then she, you can count. She signed that journal, "Your faithful servant, Jen." And when Jen was still in the coma, I begged my dad, Dr. Ed Heinzen, to take me to my house. And I couldn't even walk, but I scooted up the stairs with my one good arm and my one good leg. And when I got to Jen's bedroom, I found tons of journals hidden under her bed, and that was one of them. And I tore it out, and I carried it with me in my wheelchair everywhere I went because it gave me such hope that God had a plan and a purpose for Jen's life. And did you know Psalm 139 says all our days were ordained before one of them ever came to be? And with God, there are no accidents. He knew exactly what was going to happen to Jen November 5th, 2006. And he had prepared her whole life, and she was completely surrendered to him. And I believe that he knew she had a heart that would still praise him. When she came out of that coma in the hospital, she doesn't even know she's hurt. And she's saying, "Thank you for bringing me to this place to share my testimony." And she doesn't know she's in a hospital. She doesn't know she's hurt. And then when we got home, I mean, she would march around the kitchen. Andy and I are in wheelchairs. And she's saying, "I'm going to have a ministry to the world." God had put that in her heart. And, you know, I would look at her and say, "Jen, are you crazy? I mean, you can't even find the bathroom. How are you going to have a ministry to the world?" And did you know this last month we had people from 48 different countries come to our website? We got emails. Jennifer got emails from the United Kingdom, South Africa. She got some in German. The Miracle for Jen book's in German, and so people think we speak German. And so we get emails from all over the world. Just because one little 15-year-old girl said, "Here am I, Lord, use me." You know, what if we all in this room tonight believe that God could use us? And then what if we asked him? What if we asked him to use us? A few years ago, Jen and I had the privilege to go to New York City, and there was a prayer conference with pastors, and Jen was getting to share at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And so how many of you have been to New York City before? So you know how crazy with all the cabs and all of that. And so we get in this cab and we're a little nervous and scared. And I'm in the front and Jen's in the back with our friend Pam again. And the cab driver does something that no cab driver's ever done. He has this old, remember those old-fashioned bulky GPSs? And he hands it to me and he says, type in your address. And I said, sir, we're staying at Times Square. I mean, everyone knows where Times Square is. And he's like, no, type in your address. So I'm getting really confused, and I'm hitting the wrong buttons, and I'm getting nervous. And then
New York.
He thinks I
can. N-E-W.
Yes.
Doesn't think mom knows how to spell.
Yeah, he doesn't think I know how to spell. So he's telling me how to spell New York, and he ends up grabbing it from me. So a little bit later, we're going down the road, and someone calls in another language, and he's talking on the phone in another language. And I thought, oh no, here it is. He's saying, I'm bringing him to the warehouse and we're going to kill him now, you know. And I turn around and I look at Jen, and she's in the back and she is just glowing and she's looking out the window. And I thought, oh good, Pam and I are okay because we're with Jen and God's going to protect us. And we went about 20 more minutes down the road. And all of a sudden, he looked at me and he said, why are you here in New York? And I said, well, I said, you know, Jennifer was in a car wreck and she has a brain injury. And I said, she's only alive today because of the power of prayer and because God saved her life. And we're here to tell people about that at a prayer conference. And he took his finger, he's still driving, and he points it in my face. And he says to me, you mean to tell me that you know God? How long were you going to wait before you told me about God? I need God. I need prayer. And you know, those words will forever echo in my heart and in my mind. How long were you going to wait? And you know, I think so often as Christians, we worry. You know, we're a Christ follower and we come to church, but we're worried about offending someone or sharing Jesus with someone. And we forget that there are people that are desperate for God. This man didn't know how to find God. He didn't know he could talk to him. He wanted us to pray over him. And so he wanted God to know his name. And he had three names. And so I pull out a piece of paper and I'm trying to write the names. And he's like, oh no, you can't spell. And so he grabs a paper and he's writing the names. But think about that. You and I know that God knows our name. There's neighbors, there's people you work with, there's people all around you that don't know that God knows their name. And we've got to be a light. We've got to start sharing Jesus. God wants to use everyone in this room. I believe with all my heart, if you've gone through something painful or something hard, God can use you in greater ways. I wish you could be with us all over town. Jen shares Jesus. We walk into a sub shop or the YMCA or the grocery store. We can't even get out of the grocery store under 2 hours. People come up. Jen's like, can I pray over you? And she'll say, hey, I'm Jen. I have a brain injury. Do you know Jesus? And here's the thing. No one tells her. They don't want to hear her story. You've got a story. And again, the greater your pain, it really gives you permission to share about Jesus. No one's going to say stop talking once they know what you've been through. And I think this is the thing that has changed the most in Andy and I since the car wreck. Because before the wreck, we loved Jesus. We had a couple's Bible study in our home every Monday night. I had women, 30 women in my home every week for Bible study on Tuesday mornings. I was leading Bible study with Jen's cheerleading group. I was leading the mom's prayer group at school. But I had not personally led anyone to Jesus since I was 5 years old, and it was here in California, and I led my friend to the Lord on the swing set in the backyard. And we're going to get to see her next Sunday. And now, after the car wreck, we've seen thousands and thousands of people come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because your story gives you a right to be heard. So if you're alive today, and I think everyone in here is, it's because God wants you to use your story to share it with others about the gospel, about what he means to you. Jen, about a month ago, I saw you looking in the mirror, and can you tell them what you were doing?
Well, yes, I was counting my scars. It's curious how many I had, and it was so cool. Because the very second I found out the number, I could hear God speaking to my heart, saying, Jen, I don't look at you and think, oh, you're the girl with all these scars. No, I look at you and, you know, all I see is that you are worth it. You are priceless. You're beautiful. You are mine. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone here. Just with that same note, you know, God doesn't look at you and see your brokenness. He looks at you and he sees your potential. He sees how he wants to use you to impact the world for him, and just how to bring others to him. So, yes, don't ever be ashamed of what you guys have gone through, because that's often what God wants to use in and through you to be your ministry and to shout to the world that God is real.
Yeah. Amen.
The truth is, we are all scarred. We're all broken, and we all have wounds. As Jen's dad, I don't know how this happened. But I do believe that Jennifer got a glimpse. I think she got a glimpse of the glory of God Almighty when she was in the coma. And you got to understand, if you get the Miracle for Jen book, you'll read about 10 to 12 ladies whose lives were forever changed because they were in the hospital room and witnessed Jennifer having this two-way conversation in the middle of the night with her Lord and Savior. I believe she went to God's throne room. And that's why she has no fear. That's why she's not worried about tomorrow. And she doesn't fret over yesterday. She lives in the present with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and she surrenders every morning to him. Let me ask you a question. If you got a glimpse of God Almighty and you were in his throne room, do you think it would change you? Do you think that we wouldn't be different? We wouldn't be living in this broken world and worried about all of our failures. We wouldn't be discouraged or depressed because we've seen the King. So tonight I want you to get a glimpse of him. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Isaiah 6. I invite you to turn there, Isaiah 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the NIV. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. and they were calling to one another. And I love Jen. I was studying this passage one day, and I asked Jen, what do you think these seraphim are doing? And in her childlike face, she said, they are calling to one another, seeing who can shout the loudest. I love that. And you know what? They've been doing it for all of eternity. Look what they're shouting. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah said, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. Don't miss this next part, these next verses. I am ruined, he says, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'm a sinful man. I'm a scarred man. I'm wounded, I'm broken. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Wouldn't it change us if we really got a glimpse of the greatness of God? The passage goes on, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, I love this. See? This has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. And your sin atoned for. Full atonement. That's a picture of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, stretching out on the cross, being crucified for our sins, for you and me, and our guilt is taken away, our sin is atoned for. We don't have to live in the past. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be discouraged when we get a glimpse of the greatness of God. What was Isaiah's response? Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, don't miss this. Whom shall I send? Present tense. And who will go for us? Present tense. Us is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If we were in the throne room and we saw them and they asked us this question, present tense, it's to you, it's to me today. It's for us today. Isaiah said, and I think he said it without hesitation, here am I, send me. Another way I like to put it is, here am I, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, in spite of my brokenness. Lord, use me in spite of my painful past. Lord, use me in spite of my scars and my wounds. Do you know He will? If we surrender to Him every day, He'll use us. And if we make ourselves available, he'll use us. No matter what you've been through, our guilt is taken away. Our sin is fully atoned for. We don't have to live in that past. Here am I, Lord. Use me. When Jen came home from the hospital, she was so broken. Matter of fact, we all were. And it was a living nightmare. We tried to get back to our family tradition which we did before the accident, and that was we always went to one of the either Josh's or Jen's bedroom, and we got around the bed and we prayed as a family. And we tried to do that when Jen came home as best we could. And I would rub Jen's feet. For hours. She was in so much pain. And we would pray for healing over Jen. Josh would pray. He's just a little guy, 11. Pray for his big sister. Linda and I would pray, and we'd ask God to heal Jen. And then one night, Jen opened her mouth, and she prayed. And her prayer was, "Lord, have I met all your expectations today? Lord, have I fulfilled all the plans you had for me to do today?" And Linda and I just sat there bawling. You know, I had never prayed a prayer like that. "Lord, have I met all your expectations? And have I fulfilled all your plans you had for me to do today?" I want you to think about that for a second. God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you if you make yourself available. He may use you in ways you never dreamed for his glory. Each and every one of you have a story. Are you using it to bring glory to God? If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to ask you two questions. But the first is, do you know Jesus? First question I want to ask you is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Jen says to Linda and I all the time, she would go through the brain injury all over again if one person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we've seen thousands come to Christ. Not because of us, because of what Christ is doing in someone's heart and life. And I just want to ask you tonight, do you know him? Is he your Savior and Lord? Have you asked him into your heart? And if you've never done that, I just simply want to give you an opportunity to do it tonight. Jesus loves you so much. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer and you can pray after me. It's not fancy words. It's simply from your heart to the Lord's heart, asking him to save you. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. Lord, I recognize that you died on a cross for my sin, that you were buried and you rose again as Savior of the world. And I invite you into my heart and life tonight to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and save me. Lord, I want you to be my escort. I want you to walk with me every day for the rest of my life until I see you in heaven one day. Give me the strength to follow you each and every day. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my anchor in the storm. Come into my heart and save me today. And with no one looking around, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, from your heart to God's heart, and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, "I prayed that prayer and I accepted Jesus"? Put them up high so I can see them. I see those hands in the middle here. I see hands going up everywhere. Many, many hands are going up. I see that hand way in the back, high to the sky. Many hands. There are many hands. I can't even count them. Listen. You just made the best decision you've ever made. You're a Christ follower. Jesus is your escort. I want you to do something for me. I want you to tell someone. I want you to tell one of the pastors here that you accepted Jesus. I want you to tell a friend or a family member that you are a new Christian. You accepted Jesus tonight. And let them help you. Matter of fact, after the service, I'd say go to one of the pastors here and tell them of the decision you made. There were many hands. Scripture says that all of heaven is rejoicing. That means the angels are applauding because you've gone from death to life, because you accepted what Jesus did on the cross for you, and he is now the Savior and Lord of your life, and that's such a beautiful thing. You're a new creation. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are so faithful. We love you, Lord. If we could all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed with no one looking around, I want to ask you one more question. Maybe tonight, God was speaking to your heart, and you're a Christ follower. And maybe the cry of your heart is, Lord, use me. Lord, use me in spite of my sin and my brokenness, in spite of my scars and my wounds. And really, that is the cry of your heart. Lord, use me to make a difference for the kingdom. Lord, help me to bring glory to your name. Help me to shine for you wherever I go. Lord, use me. I'm not going to be ashamed of any of my brokenness, any of my scars. If that's you, put your hand up high. There's hands going up everywhere. Lord, use me for your glory. Wow. Wow. I don't know if we have room down here. But if you got your hand up, I just want you to come on. Jen wants to pray over you. Jen wants to pray over you. Make room. If you want to come and have Jen come forward. Guys, I normally don't do this. And it's really hard for me. I want all the guys to look here. Guys, you're going to get this. I would have missed this guy, this drunk driver, but I didn't even see him. Do you know, I would have missed him to get rid of all the pain, all the suffering. But it was God's plan. And I just want you to know, if you're going through something hard or painful, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Life hurts. Life is really hard sometimes. Hold on to Jesus. Don't ever let go of him. Claim his promises over and over. If your days are hard, claim his promises and never let go of Jesus. Jen, will you pray over everyone?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Wow. I can't wipe the smile off my face. For Lord, you are wonderful, glorious, holy, and righteous, victorious, conqueror, triumphant, and mighty. Lord, you are everything to us, and we praise you for meeting with us tonight. Oh, Jesus, 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 I believe that true revival is breaking loose here, and that you're raising up mighty warriors to be used by you. Please, Lord, bless everyone here with your strength and courage. Help them just to be able to smile, just to know that they know the secret to life. You are their escort, and yes. You're going to direct them in abundance to that promised land of hope, of faithfulness, of courage, and life everlasting with you. So, Lord Jesus, we crown you holy Jehovah Rapha with praise. Yes. To your name, Father God, amen.
Amen.